As we prepare to listen to what God has provided, I invite you to join me in prayer. Most kind and wonderful and merciful Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you for a very beautiful day outside. And God, I just ask that you would pour out your blessings with those that are digitally with us, for those in this room, and God, for those that are really hurting and in need. God, we thank you, and I do pray that these words are yours. God, you input what you want, and that we can truly hear what you've prepared for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The term waiting, I thought of the same phrase Bob did, hurry up and wait. I associate that a lot of times to military. I've had some military friends that, if you don't know what waiting is, join the military. You hurry up and then you get to wait. And it's kind of an interesting scenario that they fill that out. This week I was visiting a little bit with my chiropractor and was talking about how much we wait. And he said, have you ever thought of the term waiter or waitress at a restaurant? They wait on us. And I actually looked up the origin, and that's where it comes back from, in the 1500s for the waiter and 1800s for the waitress. It's waiting on people. So that was kind of an interesting thing that he threw into the equation. Waiting in the dictionary is to look forward expectantly. Now, that isn't always waiting for positive things. You know, the proverbial waiting for the other shoe to drop. And we've all experienced both sides of what this waiting can be. We wait in line in the grocery store, the drive-thru, and in traffic jams. And we could add to this list multiple times over from everyone in this room. It's a fact of life. What about experiencing someone cutting in line in front of you? Who in here has never experienced that? Now, I tell a little story on myself. In college, the cafeteria where we ate, they had a line, two lines coming in, and then you would file out in the kind of the middle. And occasionally someone would cut in line, and you know, because they needed to be somewhere or whatever. The one that sticks to my mind is I cut in line, and subsequently 16 others did too. So there were 17 of us that held the line up behind. And we all went out and sat together and had a good time. But at what cost was that to someone else? And I look back now and think, I would not have been very happy to have watched that happen. The people in front of me, they didn't care. They weren't being held up. So, you know, you think about even in traffic, when something happens behind you, you're oblivious to it. But if you're cut off and you have to wait or you miss the light, there's a traffic signal in Wichita. I won't tell you where, but it hates me. I stop at that light every single time. And I'm not skeptical about it or anything, but that light does. It hates me, I guess. You know. Anyway, so often we get caught in situations. Have you questioned yourself, is the wait worth the outcome? You're in line, and you see the line, and you think, yes, I need to stay here, or I can get this another time, or I can, and you see people routinely pull out of line because they don't want to wait anymore. As we think about this, a few years ago, four of us and our wives went to Chicago. And everywhere we wanted to go, there was going to be a line to get into whatever it was. So we opted to buy what they called a Go Chicago card. And if I remember right, it was $50 for the card. But in the course of 4 days, we saw multiple more events because we bypassed the line, this Go Chicago line. When you would come into the event, there's this long line, and there's a sign up here in the doorway that says, Go Chicago. And we could walk right up, show our card, and go right on in. And it made the waiting change dramatically, but it was at a cost. And we opted to say it was worth the cost. It's been reported that Americans spend about 37 billion hours a year waiting in line. Some of you may think you have a corner on 1 billion of that, but it's in reality, we all get caught up in that. We also tend to be preoccupied with a line's length rather than how fast it is moving. Choosing to wait in a short line that's moving slowly rather than a long line that moves faster. And you think about different places you go in, and they have a circuitous line where it goes up and it loops back and it loops back and it loops back and it loops back. And there is a mindset, there's a psychological effect that this line's moving versus just a single long line. You don't see them so much anymore, but in a grocery store, they created an express lane that had 10 to 15 items. They did away with it because people were not paying attention to the 10 or 15 items. But in reality, what they were designed for was if you only had just a few, you could go through and get through this line and not wait in this long line. So there's different ways that man has come up with doing things. Overestimating the wait time happens often. And again, I'm going to tell a story on myself. In my previous career, we would have water mains that would break. And you'd be out there in all kinds of climate working on these. And invariably, you would have at least one come up. How long am I going to be out of water? You learn to bite your tongue real fast because it's not pleasant being out there doing this. But I always overestimated, always added conceivably the reality long term. This could be real, but invariably I would always make it longer. I wanted a positive outcome. Because when the wait is significantly less than expected, we feel good about the time that you waited. So if that water main was fixed and they got water an hour before they thought they were, we were good people. It's how you look and you work around things. Waiting for a diagnosis or failing health to improve can be very stressful. That wait truly is the heavy burden that we have. Today's text comes from 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. In this text, Paul answers concerns members had about their loved ones who had died. Remember, as we talked about last week, this is probably the first letter of the New Testament that was actually recorded in the New Testament. It predates the writing of the Gospels and virtually every other book in the Bible. So these church members at Thessalonica were very concerned about their members that had died. In this section, Paul's letter talks about three themes: community, hopeful waiting, in Christ coming. The first one, community. The church members were concerned whether they would ever see their loved ones again. They weren't worried about them if they were saved, if they were a part of the coming salvation. They believed that. They knew that. But they didn't know if they would ever see them again. And that's something that I think all of us from if we've lost a loved one, probably want to see them again. You probably want to spend time and catch up. But this was what Paul was addressing. This was a concern of the church. When you think about different ones, and you hear their voice, you can see them, and you just want to be with them again. This was what Paul dealt with. Paul's focus on community is highlighted in his description of Christ's return. We go to verse 17 of this section. Then we, who are alive, those that have not died, who are left. This is coming right up to when Christ is returning. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so will we always be with the Lord. I want you to just stop and picture, what's that going to look like? I mean, it's not a rapture. There's really no scriptural proof to support that. Everyone is at the end. Christ is returning. And the clouds have relatives, people that have died. And I always wondered, did they come back chronologically in the time frame that they were passed to maybe just pass the day before? I don't know. Doesn't matter. They're all going to be there. And then we, who are fellow believers that trust in Jesus, will be going up. The clouds are going to get pretty full. You think about in the imagery of what that looks like. It's awesome to think about everyone that has died in Christ will be resurrected alive. We're not going to where it's been in soul sleep, heaven, none of that. That's not part of this story. This story is the dead in Christ will be made alive, and those who are still alive in Christ will rise. At Christ's return, heaven and earth are reconciled to a place that will never end. In our mind, we always have endings to things. We can wrestle with God with no beginning because we are so time-oriented. And then when time ceases to exist, what's next? It's a place that will never end of heaven and earth being together. Hopeful waiting. Paul uses this phrase in a number of his letters. If you read different ones, you will pick up on this phrase. 1 Corinthians 13:13. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. The greatest of these is love. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul changes the order to faith, love, and hope. Still the three, but there's a different emphasis. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul emphasizes the need for hope. Where would we be without hope? If we didn't have hope, we've been around different ones that don't have hope. Maybe you've been to a funeral, stood at a graveside with someone that you know, you care about, and for them, their loved one is gone. There is nothing future. They have no hope. The gift of knowing, the gift of having the hope that Jesus puts in us, especially during times of grieving. Verse 13, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, those who have died, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. It's not wishful thinking. There is a belief that's wrapped in hope. Our loss hurts. When we lose someone that is very close, maybe a spouse, a child, a parent, close friend, it hurts. Sometimes it hurts for a long time, and it just stays. But we have hope that we will see them again. And that is unbelievable. I, a few summers ago, went to Corpus Christi to a college friend, the best man at my wedding, best man he at mine. And it was interesting, you know, they give people opportunity to talk about the person. Some funerals do that. And I had never done that, but that day I did. And my words, and I truly believe the Spirit moved them, I made it very clean. I would see him again. There was no doubt, and there's still no doubt, I will see my close friend again. That's hope. That's something I can work up. That's not something you can work up. That's a gift from God through the Holy Spirit. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep, those who are died. They will come with Jesus. And the phrase, since we believe, actually a better translation for that is reality, fact. The fact is Jesus died and rose again. Even so, through Jesus, God will bring with those who have fallen asleep. The reality is it's going to happen exactly that way. You can picture the dead in Christ rising first, then those in life that are still alive rising to be with them, with Christ. It's reality. We don't have to say, well, I kind of hope that happens. It's going to happen. Scripture says so. Paul points out that as believers, their grief was deeply interconnected with their hope in Christ. These people in Thessalonica that were seriously concerned about, will I see my friend, family member? It's interconnected with Jesus. Remember, waiting is a part of our life. Our cry, Lord, do not delay, is a claim of urgency, but also a witness to promise. Do not delay. We want Christ to return. I think that's, I've shared, that's a prayer that I try and say every day, asking God to send his son, to put a stop to the news that is so painful. The reality of what people are barely existing to live in their environment. But it's also a witness to a promise he is coming. And when he comes, the dead in Christ join him, and those alive join him. We want the wait to be over. But at the same time, we trust that God will show up. You know, I think about my father and my grandfather, and I want to see them so bad. You know, there's the thing of, I'd like to just sit down and talk with my grandpa one more time. One more time. I'd love to sit down and share stories of the grandkids with my dad one more time. But I don't get that. I'm waiting. But within that wait is a trust that I will get to do that. I will get to sit down and share stories with them because Christ says so. If our waiting is experienced in fear, God comes with peace. This is under the heading, Hopeful Waiting. If our waiting is experienced in longing, God arrives with deep and abiding satisfaction. We have a God who loves us. If our waiting is experienced in anticipation, God accompanies us in the joy that should be our present. If you can get to that point, that joy of knowing what is coming, doesn't change the weight. The weight is still there. You're still waiting. But there's a joyful conclusion to this wait. Waiting brings us to recognizing our absolute dependence on the presence of God. In our environment, in our world, waiting in traffic, waiting in a drive-through, waiting in a grocery line can be stressful, can be time-consuming, and in a lot of ways, a waste of time. But if we are depending on God's presence in that moment, in that line, what opportunities are there to share the hope that we have? Maybe in your car, not so much verbally, but maybe there's ways you can let somebody through. Do something to help someone. In a line, maybe just simply striking up a conversation with a total stranger. And boy, that's scary. But if you're in a long line, I know for years, and we're coming up to Black Friday, it's not the same. They've changed it with technology. But my youngest daughter, from the time she was in middle school, we would go Black Friday shopping, getting up at 5, heading out the door, standing in line, freezing, because back then they stood the lines outside. But invariably, we would strike up conversations with people around us. There's this goofy dad and his middle school daughter that are out here Black Friday shopping. And then, you know, a lot of times we didn't buy a single thing, but we spent time together that is special for the two of us. And we can look back 25 years at the beginning of that and just the joy that we had, the standing in line with people, commiserating with the cold or commiserating with whatever their situation. I don't know. Maybe we made a difference. Maybe we didn't. God made a difference in our lives because it's a favor memory that the two of us have. Whether we buy anything or not, it's time together and it's time to express God's love. The next theme, Christ coming. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. We won't be first if you're still alive, but it's not a race. We will join those that have passed before us. Do we see the coming of the Lord as only in the future? That's just something out there. Do we view that? Do we view Christ's return as, someday it's going to happen? Can we see the power of Christ and the Spirit in our everyday life? We don't have to wait for Jesus to come. He is here and he's in our lives today. Experience him. Ask him to show you whatever. Ask him to help you with a wait. And a little play on the English word, help you with the weight of waiting. It makes altogether difference. As human beings, we don't like to wait. There isn't, I don't think, anybody in here that says, I want to wait in line. I'm going down to the tag office and I'm just looking forward to that 2 or 3 hour wait to get my license tag. Which, by the way, they've changed now and they give you a little number and they text you and tell you. Anyway, we don't like to wait, but waiting is a part of our reality. From very little, as a small child, we waited very expectantly for some event that your parents have been talking about. Maybe a vacation, maybe a trip to grandma's house. We waited and wanted that to happen. as we've grown up, we've waited for different events. You know, as a young person, 18 is a milestone. 21 is another milestone. Your first child. All of these things that you've waited, but in reality, for at least those of us here, we look in the rearview mirror to see those. Those waits have come and gone. But we wait within a community that has hope. This room is full of a community of hope. We can rely on one another. We're not alone. We can share what God is doing in our lives. We can ask for prayers for those situations. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are at work in us and through us, reconciling us to each other, to creation, and to God. This community of believers support one another. I don't know how many in here have had a tragedy or something very profound in your life happen, and you reached out to someone in this room and said, "Can you please pray? I am hurting. I am struggling. I need help." One of the most encouraging things is to have a group that you're connected with and you send out that message. I remember sending a message as I followed my daughter with my granddaughter in an ambulance headed to the hospital. And I reached out to a group that I was connected with. Sent a text. My phone blew up with text messages responding. In 5 minutes, I don't know how many different texts came. And it was people reaching out on my behalf for my daughter and granddaughter. And it meant, and it still does, a great deal to think about. A community of believers support one another. When you have to wait this week, and you will, there will be somewhere, somehow, some way, you will wait. Pause and think about how you are feeling and what you need. And I can't tell you what circumstances that will be, but somewhere in this week, you will have to wait for something. Remember that God meets our needs while we wait. And notice how this shows up in your experience. Make that intentional in your mind when you are in the middle of a wait that you may be frustrated with. I know I'm not going to go through that intersection this week because I know it will stop me and I will be frustrated. But in reality, God shows up. Maybe that signal saved me from a wreck. Maybe that signal gave me pause to think of somebody else. I don't know. But let God in your wait time. Observe another's need while you're waiting. And invariably, if you're in waiting, a lot of times you're in a crowd or you're around people. Observe another's need while waiting and ask God to meet that need. You don't have to go over and accost them and reach out to them and say, "I want to pray for you." But you can, in your mind, at that moment, ask for God to intervene in this person's life. One of the most classic ones that I see happen is a mother with a handful of kids that are going berserk, that are throwing fits, and this mother is, all she wants to do is get through the line and go home. But all of those little candy and little things they put in grocery store checkout lines are designed to wind up little kids. Observe other people's needs. Maybe it's in a traffic Maybe it's just in a line that you're in. Maybe you're going out to eat and you're in a long line. See what other people's needs might be. Give thanks for God's presence in your waiting and in your daily life. Jesus is coming, and he will bring the dead to life, and he will bring the believers that are alive at his return to the clouds. I can't imagine how many people will be in the clouds. Kind of a fun thing to just imagine God's word and the reality of the stories that are written and put them where you can visually picture that. But God is in your life every day. His presence is in your waiting. And maybe you are caught up in a wait and it's frustrating, and then it was like, then there's this, oh yeah. Wonder what other people are doing. What's their needs? And you get off of yourself and you focus on what other people might need. This allows you as a community of believers to reach out to other people, even in a quiet prayer in your head. Waiting is inevitable, but the big wait of Jesus' return, boy, is it going to be awesome at the end of that. Just thinking of all of these people, many are former family members or friends that maybe passed when you were a child, but this was your best friend. I don't know what all that's going to entail, but it's going to be awesome. It's going to be way beyond anything I can describe. We come to a gift, the table that Jesus has provided for us. I'm going to read John 6, verse 53. Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." I was taken by the next phrase. "And I, Jesus, will raise them up at the last day." Another promise. "For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them." And we know that the crackers and the fruit of the vine are representative of Christ's body and his blood. I will raise them up. We don't have to hope. We know. We can hope in reality because we know Jesus has said it will happen, and it will happen. Invite you to join me in prayer. Father God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you're fully aware of our world of wait, of waiting. But God, I just pray that we recognize you in our waiting. As we come to the table and we partake of the gift of the bread and the fruit of the vine that is picturing the broken body and shed blood of Jesus. Jesus goes on farther to say, "I will not drink nor eat this until that day I come back." And God, we pray that that day would be soon. But in the meantime, please strengthen us in the wait. Let us enjoy your presence in the wait. And God, I pray that you would bless the elements of the table. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come today, think of the gift of Jesus. We live in a world that many, many have no clue who Jesus is. But we have been blessed with his presence in our life. The table is set. Invite you to come.
Let's pray. Father, we finish our service as we started it by dedicating it to you. Thank you for your love, and Jesus, thank you for being willing to come to earth, to be one of us, and to take on our sins so that we can be sinless and blameless before the Father. We are awaiting your return. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would be with us as we leave here and go back to our daily lives. Comfort us in our problems. Guide us to live our lives as children of God. And be with us to always give an answer about our faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And closing with 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 and 24. Now may the God of grace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Have a great week.